Good morning, everyone. My name is Ho Jin, and I am one of the pastors here at Cornerstone, and I have the privilege of sharing from God's Word this morning. The coup attempt at the United States Capitol on Wednesday has led to many people being angered, upset, and traumatized. Five lives were lost, many were injured, and the nation's leaders who gathered to certify the results of the November election were put in danger by a group of Trump-supporting insurrectionists incited by 45 himself. January 6, 2021 will go down as one of the low points of this country's history. And I want to confess that my entire week was derailed. I wrestled with a lot of my own thoughts and anger, and then I had to consider what God wanted me to share with you all this morning. I know that I was in need of good news, the good news of Jesus, and I'm guessing that some of you need it as well. An announcement we did not get to share earlier is for a virtual prayer gathering today after service at 1 p.m. We want to provide a space to lament and pray for this country together as a church. So please save the link on your screen. It's also in the video description, and join us at 1 p.m. In God's sovereignty, we are going through a month-long theme of hoping in God. Pastor Danny opened up our series last week, and if you missed it, please make sure to go back and listen to his message. The new calendar year did not make our problems go away, and the transition to the next presidency will not fully address the brokenness in this country. We are in desperate need of a different type of hope, a hope that has power and compassion to meet your needs and mine and all of humanity's. This morning, we will look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. And although this morning's message is not exactly what I had originally envisioned, I pray and trust that God will speak to all of you in a personal sense, but also in a corporate sense, for our good and for the good of the world around us. So let's read our passage together, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray briefly before we continue. This prayer is an old Anglican prayer. God, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. What we have not, give us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer. Amen. The book of Hebrews is a letter written to believers who are at risk of drifting away from God and disconnecting from the faith community. The recipients of this letter were feeling discouraged, defeated, and distracted, which honestly is an accurate description of how I felt this past week. There are several sections where the author writes exhortations to endure, to stay steadfast to God as well as to one another. And our passage this morning is the beginning of this final section of the letter where the author calls the readers to concrete action based on everything he has written thus far. Last week, Pastor Danny gave us a definition of biblical hope that we should honestly consider memorizing. Biblical hope is full assurance and confident expectancy that God will fulfill all his promises and God will do great things for those he loves. This morning, we want to build on that definition and see that hope is both a noun and a verb. What do I mean by that? I am saying that while hope can be something that we have and possess, hope is also something that we live out. The hope that we need today is a hope that we need to put into practice. It's a hope in action and everyday hope we experience together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, we want to see that the type of hope we need today is hope in action. And our passage shows us three concrete actions that we can take for greater hope, even in light of this past week's events. So three concrete actions for greater hope today. In verse 22, we read, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings." The phrase "draw near" is an accurate translation of the verb, but in light of the context of this entire passage, it is not strong enough. Imagine getting exclusive VIP access to a one-on-one conversation with someone who is of immeasurable status, power, and fame, who has never been accessible or available to you, but all of a sudden is in a very intimate way. You would not simply draw near. You would actually jump on that opportunity in a split second. One Bible commentator explains, to draw near is to seize the opportunity of access to God, which Christ, his priesthood, and his sacrifice has made possible. This is our first concrete action for greater hope today. Seize opportunities to be with God. Seize opportunities to be with God. Up until this point in Hebrews, the author has been writing about how Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, provides a greater salvation than ever possible. Earlier in this book, the author writes about Jesus as the high priest of a better covenant. In chapter 10, earlier in verses 11 to 14, we read, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for all sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Jesus accomplished something that has never been possible before. The problem of curse and curse of sin was addressed decisively. All of a sudden, because of Jesus, those who put their complete trust in him have access to God like we could have never, ever had before. So we don't simply draw near to God. We run to him like we would run to someone we love and miss deeply. And while the pandemic has definitely disturbed all of our normal rhythms, one silver lining that I've witnessed is the greater appreciation that many of us have for our families and loved ones. There seems to be more cherishing of time together, not taking it for granted, even if it's virtual. You wouldn't just draw near to the ones you love. You would pounce on the chance, any chance you can have with them. With God, the experience is so much more than that. Because of Jesus, we are able to meet and spend time with the one who sent our Savior and Liberator and King. Because of Jesus, we have access to God who knows us personally and loves us infinitely. And he also gives us the greatest fulfillment and purpose in this life. For greater hope, we must go to him urgently and expectantly. One of the more upsetting parts of Wednesday's breaching of the U.S. Capitol was seeing flags, signs, and banners with the name Jesus on them. These were waved alongside the Confederate flag and even a noose and other signs, symbols of white supremacy. And at least in some part, the events of Wednesday were done by quote-unquote Christians in the name of Jesus. And we have to pause here to condemn Christian nationalism. It is a misapplication of the Bible, taking passages about God's choosing of Israel to represent him. Those passages are lifted out of context and inappropriately applied to America. And this has led to absolutely unchristlike beliefs and behaviors like racism, fear-mongering, misogyny, white privilege, xenophobia, idolatry of political leaders, and the oppression of others. Theologian Michael Horton writes, "On biblical grounds alone, then, this ideal of quote-unquote Christian nation other than the universal church, of the gospel as social, moral, or political agenda, and of saving faith as something that can be legislated and enforced must be rejected." Seeing those flags and banners accompanying the chaos at the Capitol, I fell into the pit of doom scrolling on my phone. I don't even know for how long. And I was a complicated mess of angry and devastated. And the Cornerstone pastors were texting each other later that day, and they reminded me, not directly to me, but just implicitly, that what I needed most was not more information. What I needed the most was to go to God, to run to Him with everything that I've been thinking and feeling. And it was an urgent need to go to Him. I need Him, and I continue to need to seize the special access I have with God because of Jesus. I need to be heard by Him. I need to be reassured by Him. I still have a lot of questions, a lot of strong emotions, but in order to continue hoping, I need to go to Him. So if we want greater biblical hope, a full assurance, confident expectancy, we must seize opportunities to be with Him. Hope is practiced when we go to God often and urgently through the amazing free access provided by Jesus. And this is our first concrete action: seize opportunities to be with God. In verse 23, we read, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." Biblical hope must be hope that does not waver. That does not mean God requires us to hope perfectly. Rather, it means it has to be persistent and with perseverance, even in the face of danger, suffering, persecution, and even temptation. The word unswervingly here means to not bend or lean either way. So action number two is to be unswerving in our confidence of God. Unswerving is not a word we use a lot, but it captures well what we need for greater hope. If you've ever driven on Star Road Drive in heavy rain, I know that there are a few spots where water pools up, and when a car drives in the opposite direction, a wave of water crosses over the median and hits your windshield. And if you're not expecting it, it can definitely shock you. And for a moment, you can lose your bearings. But one thing you cannot ever do is swerve out of your lane, because it puts you in danger. It puts others in danger. You have to stay your course until your windshield wipers kick in and you can see clearly again. And if you know where these spots are, when heavy rain comes to Boston, you actually are better equipped, better prepared to drive safely to your destination. Hope can be developed and strengthened. Hope can be fostered in a way that allows us to face any circumstances. I came across a video on social media of rioters attempting to enter the gallery of the Capitol where political leaders were gathered to certify the election, and it struck me deeply. The quality isn't great, so I attempted to provide captions the best I could, but please pay particular attention to the woman wearing red in the video. The woman praying is Delaware Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester. What strikes me about the video is not that she's praying, it's the content of her prayer that stood out to me. She starts with protection for the people inside and outside the gallery, which is natural to pray and lift in that moment. But then she starts praying big prayers without much hesitation. She starts to pray for peace in the land, peace in the country. And she does it so boldly and loudly in the midst of the chaos. And I suspect that Representative Rochester is someone who prays regularly. I suspect that it wasn't the first time she lifted those big prayers for peace. It's clear that she has great confidence in her God, even in that moment where her life was in danger. In Romans chapter 5, we read a passage that is very similar to Hebrews 10. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which now we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope can be produced in us even through our suffering. It seems counterintuitive, but for those who have truly encountered God through the access-providing work of Jesus Christ, we can cling to God stubbornly, and I mean stubborn in the best sense, and our hope will never, ever put us to shame. People can go ahead and mock Representative Rochester. They can mock us, but in Christ, we have every reason to hope unswervingly in our God, and we will never be disappointed in the end. If we look at the second half of verse 23, we read that we hold on unswervingly, for he who promised is faithful. We can be unswerving in our confidence of God because of who he is. When our hope seems to waver and be shaky, we have to remember God's track record, not just in our personal lives, but throughout history. Remember those in Scripture who experienced God's presence and power. Remember those in your life who have testimonies of receiving God's provision and kindness. And just take a panoramic view of how God has taken care of his people. And most of all, take a look at Jesus. The cross, which seemed like an utter disappointment, an evident defeat of God himself, a failure of his purposes and plans, an indictment against his trustworthiness. All of a sudden, the cross becomes exactly how God proves himself to be faithful when he raises Christ from the dead, providing a way for you and me to be reconciled to God, to be called into his family, and to have access to him. Hope is a noun and a verb. We can grow our hope today by committing to be unswerving in our confidence of God because of who he is and all that he has done. Let's read verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. If we want greater biblical hope, one, we must seize opportunities to be with him. Two, remain unswerving in our confidence in God. And lastly, we need to give focused care to one another. We must give focused care to one another. When we say consider us, when we say the word consider, it's often with the attitude of, okay, I'll think about it. But here, when it says consider, it means to display a hands-on practical concern. Hope in action is attentive care to our spiritual siblings. And the care is for the purpose of spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. The word used for spur right here, it means to stimulate, to provoke, to stir up. And it's most often used in a negative sense of stirring up anger. But here it's used in a positive sense, to stir up for love and good deeds. So that means even if it's momentary discomfort or disturbance, we need to be stirred up because our purpose for hope is not to arrive at some figurative finish line for ourselves. It is to love God, love our neighbor, to do good in the world, and to make God known, that the Jesus we see in the Bible known. My hoping in God is tied to your hoping in God, and your hoping is tied to Cornerstone's hoping. And the only way we can effectively spur one another on is to know each other so well that we are aware of each other's blind spots and needs and strengths and weaknesses, and then we actually get in each other's lives to find ways to move collectively towards love and good deeds for the sake of our neighbors, our cities, our country, and our world. Verse 25 tells us how we can tangibly spur one another on by not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Giving up connotes deserting and separating a connection. The writer of Hebrews is communicating here that giving up meeting together is not just simply neglect, it's wrongful abandonment. The author here is writing to a community that is witnessing people just not showing up in their gatherings. And we're not told why they have stopped coming out. It could have been because of possible persecution. It could have also been what one Bible commentator describes as preoccupation with business affairs. In other words, they were just too busy with life. In the summer, this past summer, the Barna Group reported that 1/3 of churchgoers from before the pandemic had stopped attending any sort of worship service during the pandemic. Even within that 1/3 that was attending, 34% of those individuals admitted to streaming a different church, so essentially church hopping. That means statistically, 1 out of every 3 people we know at church has stopped showing up on Sunday live stream worship or has started to worship elsewhere. And maybe even we were one of those people for a period of time. And here we can be really honest. I have yet to meet a single person who prefers worship in this virtual format. And as much as you don't like worshiping in front of a screen, I don't like worship, or I don't like talking to a camera in a room all by myself. But this is what we have given our circumstances. In a New York Times article, Esau McCauley writes, "We continue to worship virtually because attendance is not about what church gives us. It is our way of offering something to God. It is a small rebellion, a way of saying that there is more to life than the acquisition of more. It is an attempt to become the kind of people who live lives of charity and service." I would add to that, that worshiping virtually is also a way of offering ourselves to one another. It's to show up and say that we are here for each other, that we care about one another, that we are journeying together. And even if this is not the preferred mode of interaction, it's less about my preferences and about what I get or don't get from service, and it's more about how you and I can show up for one another. And I say all this knowing that Sunday service is not all there is, that there is in life with Jesus, but it is the only opportunity that Cornerstone has to gather as a corporate body regularly. So can I ask for just a very practical thing that can actually make a bigger difference than you think? If you're worshiping with us, would you consider making a commitment to engage digitally in whatever ways possible? Can we just light up the chat a little bit more on Sunday mornings and introduce ourselves and greet each other? And you could do it right now. And the whole point is to say, "I'm here for you." And you could type that, "I'm here for you." Can we leave comments in the YouTube videos of particular parts of service that have encouraged you or challenged you or helped you grow? Can we show up to the different events and initiatives that we are providing? And it's not about what can I get out of it, but more about how can I be there for my spiritual siblings. And especially after a week like the one we just had, consider attending the virtual prayer gathering today after service, not because maybe you need it, but based on showing up for the sisters and brothers in your life right now who really may not be doing well because of Wednesday. As a local church body, I need your presence and engagement, and you need mine. I need your spurring on to love and good deeds, and you need mine. My hope in God is connected to your hope in God. And if you're wondering why Pastor Danny and I aren't there, it's because we're managing what's happening here at our streaming site. It's not out of a lack of desire to be with you. Just to wrap up our time, I came across this quote from an American author and educator, Anna Lappe. "Hope does not come from calculating whether the good news is winning out over the bad. It is simply a choice to take action." Let me read that again. "Hope doesn't come from calculating whether the good news is winning out over the bad. It is simply a choice to take action." Hope is a noun, but hope is also a verb. The type of hope we need today is hope in action. Hope that seizes every opportunity to be with God because Jesus has provided us with full access to God. Hope that keeps an unswerving, a steady confidence in God because God has been and will be faithful. And hope that leads us to give focused care to one another because what's at stake is our ability to show the world the love and good deeds that God has actually blessed us with so that we can bless the world. This morning, the good news of Jesus is that because of his life, death, and resurrection, we can have real, living, active hope that motivates to stay close to God, to stay steadfast to His promises, and stay connected to His people. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we come before You needing You more than we could ever realize or ever express. And while we may have an opinion about what happened on Wednesday, while we may have our own thoughts and feelings, we come to You because what we need is not some sort of judgment or decision on our own. We need You to enter into our minds, hearts, our souls, and give us the hope that we need. Because through that hope, we get to experience You, we get to be with You, we get to represent You, and we start to move towards action that helps others, including the people at our church and those that don't know You yet, who Jesus really looks like. We repent for the way that Jesus has been represented, especially this past week, but we know it's more than that, the way that Jesus has been represented for years and years and years. So we commit now, we commit today to hoping in the one and only true living God who makes Himself known through the Holy Word, that we would obey Him, that we would hope in Him, hope in You, Lord, and be transformed so that we can transform the world. And that is work that we cannot do on our own strength. We need Your help, God. We need Christ to intercede for us. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. So this is just the beginning, God. We pray that we would be launched into active hope, hope in action, hope as a verb. We depend on You. We love You, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.